The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am in San Jose at International Ms. Leather and Ms. Bootblack 2017, having what's probably just a spectacular time. So this show is pre-recorded today, but I want to remind you that if you have questions for our guests, if you have comments about a show, you'd like something you heard, or you want to further discuss it, you can always call our 24-hour voicemail at 323-SEX-8266. 323-SEX-8266. Let me tell you about today's guest. Maggie West is a Los Angeles-based photographer specializing in experimental lighting and color techniques. Her surreal, colorful photographs have been featured in acclaimed publications and sources worldwide. West has been involved in benefits for organizations such as Planned Parenthood and the ACLU. Her first book, Kiss, featured 25 LA-based couples kissing under a spectrum of colored light. West's second book, 23, examines the spectrum of gender and sexuality and will be released in just a few days, April 26th. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Maggie.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So I got to see the book. I'm like one of the only people who got to see the book, right?
Yes. Very few people. You and Gabby are the only two people who have seen the book.
The book is spectacular and beautiful, and I want to talk about it. I want to first talk about the process of making your photos, because you have this very specific look to your photos that involves tons of color and light. And to the untrained civilian eye, I can't tell if that's happening in the studio or in post-production, how you achieve all that amazing color.
It's all in studio. I do a little bit of retouching, for skin or stray hairs or stuff like that in both these books. But for the most part, the color in both books is completely just done in lighting. I don't really alter the colors much in post.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So they're pretty spectacular. I mean, that raises the game here, because they're really spectacular.
Thank you.
In the colors.
Yeah. I use a lot of strobes. So what's funny a lot of times is if you were actually on set with me, it would look pretty normal. It would just look like there's gels over the lighting. But I don't use continuous light. So it's not like you walk into my studio and you see this crazy spectrum. It looks pretty normal. It just shows up on camera because it's in strobes. So,
wow.
So, yeah. So
you see it, but the person on the set doesn't see it.
A lot of times I shoot tethered to a monitor, so they see
right.
it.
Right.
I've done this color technique for a while now. So at this point I've gotten I kind of know what it's going to look like, even though it's not often visible in the visible spectrum when I'm doing it. I can kind of check myself on the monitor and see. So
this book is called 23, and it also features some essays by several people, some well-known to my audience because Christopher Zeitzig, aka Danny Wilde, has been on my show, and Gabby Dunn has also been on my show. I want to talk about one of the essays by Chris because it also leads me to talk about this project that you did called Fluid, which was in the summer of 2016, where you examined the beauty of bodily mm-hmm. fluids. First of all, Chris's essay in this book is like a love letter to oh. you and your work. It's pretty fucking magical.
I agree. I think it's pretty magical.
It's pretty magical. And it's like, it's sort of the meet cute of the century. So I'm just going to quote a piece of his essay.
Okay.
I joined Maggie at her studio so that we could drool on glass and cut our fingers with X-Acto knives. We were like children, spitting and engaging in blood pacts. And like children, we were shy to masturbate in front of each other. Maggie left the room while I jerked off. But I manned the piece of clear plastic on which I'd provided a sample, tilted it back and forth so that my semen would flow in the direction of her lens. This is like the most magical meeting of all times, okay? Because this means that one of the first times you met, this wasn't the first time you photographed him, but yeah. one of the first times you met, he came on a slide for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you hadn't yet been sort of dating or anything.
Yeah, like, well, at that point, I first met Chris. Like, we were, like, kind of internet friends. Like, I had read some of his essays for Nerve, and I was like, oh, he's so well-spoken and cool. And, like, so we were Instagram buddies or whatever. And so when I was casting for 23, I needed more guys. And so I DM'd him and I was just like, hey, like, do you want to be in my book? And he was like, oh yeah, I'd love to, whatever. So the first time I met him was actually shooting for this nude book. So the first time I met him, he took off his clothes.
And then the second time he came.
The second
okay.
time.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. So that's a point of clarity that we need to make. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so, like, after we met on 23, we just, like, got along super well, and, like, we started going to art shows together and, like, kind of just hanging out. But, like, I was seeing some other people, and, like, he was, like, I don't know. We just weren't at a point where either one of us was, like, super into dating. But then I was doing the Fluid series, and I just needed a guy to do it with me, and I wasn't, because I wanted like a male sample and a female sample, right. And Chris seemed like a really good choice for somebody who is perfectly comfortable like coming like kind of on command,
so
it was really cute. And by that point, by the time that we shot Fluid, like, we like obviously really liked each other. We just weren't like officially dating, and I mean, honestly, at that point we hadn't made out yet or done anything like that. We were just like friends. So
why bodily fluids? Because I found it such an interesting topic because so many people are so freaked out and grossed out by bodily fluids.
That was why I wanted to do it. It was just because like a lot of times in between my bigger projects with people, I do like these smaller kind of scientific like mini studies, and I just think like normally when we think about bodily fluids, like, it's, people have a very visceral, like, that's disgusting, like, mm-hmm. kind of reaction to that. And so I wanted to see if I could shoot them in a way that was more abstract and like really visually stunning. Like, part of it was just that I wanted to like make people have like kind of a like reaction to it. Like, for instance, I showed it to my mom and she was like, oh, these are so beautiful, what are these? And I was like, oh, that's saliva. And she was like, oh my god. And like, you can imagine her reaction when she figured out she was looking at cum,
right?
So,
or blood,
but yeah, or yeah. blood or whatever. But yeah, I just kind of like, and when you think about it, like, these are such powerful like fluids, mm-hmm. like, I mean, like, they have the ability to create new life or spread disease or like whatever, you know, like, so I just wanted to do a photo series that kind of like was more of an homage to like that side of like how powerful these sources are and that we should like look at them differently. But yeah, the actual shooting of it was kind of funny because again, like, we liked each other, but like, we were still kind of embarrassed to like, you know, right. like, so we did saliva first, and that was really easy. We just like spit on some glass and it was fine. And then blood, like, we like both kind of cut each other and it's like, you know, but then we got to come And, you know, like I was trying to give him privacy. I was like, well, I was like, should I just like go for a walk? And he was like, well, if you do that, like it may dry before you get back and that's going to affect the photo. And I was like, oh, you're right. And I was like, well, I was like, I'll just go in my room. Like I like sleep in the closet of my studio. So I like basically went into my closet and like was like hanging out on Twitter. And then Chris was like, I'm done. And I came back in the room and photographed it. But yeah, like we started dating very soon after that. But like during that, we actually weren't dating.
It's a super sweet story.
Yeah.
Okay, so your second book, 23, which is about to come out, features 23, again, Los Angeles-based folks.
Yeah.
And these are nudes.
Yes.
So how did the idea for this come about?
Well, I've shot nudes for a while just because, like, I really enjoy kind of the timeless quality of nude photographs in, like, a blank studio setting background. I think there's something really interesting about that because I feel like, a lot of portraiture, like fashion photos or something, is so heavily influenced by like what the person is wearing or like the setting that it really puts it in a place and time. But I feel like when you take away clothing and setting
and
like
markers,
like it becomes really timeless. So I had shot nudes for a while and I was like looking at a lot of existing nudes books and I felt like a lot of them were very like, examine sexuality in a very binary way where it was like super like masculine men, like it'd be like the beauty of men and it'd be like black and white photos
hyper masculine
flexing. Yes. Or like, but honestly the ones with women were like kind of the same, like it was like it's like women and it's like, you know, a curve of a boob with super long hair, which is fine, but I just felt like I wanted to make a photo book of nudes that was like a little bit more contemporary, that like felt more current. And I felt like it should have like a more diverse cast of people in it that like are trans or are like just don't adhere to like normal gender stereotypes the way that a lot of other nude books do. So
right.
That's
right.
Basically it.
Okay. Well, there's more to talk about that, but we have got to take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors. So listen to these commercials and come right back more with Maggie West when we return.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. Enjoy luxurious sex toy shopping from the comfort of home with the newly launched PleasureChest.com. This redesigned site brings the Pleasure Chest experience directly to you, with specially curated pages for every fantasy and fetish, along with top toy picks from your favorite sex educators, myself included. Check out upcoming workshops and events, as well as their signature Pleasure Ed content, because sex never goes out of style. Don't forget to use the coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free gift with every purchase.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to welcome our brand new sponsor, B-Vibe. B-Vibe is this amazing company that makes really gorgeous, modern, smart, technical butt plugs and vibrating butt plugs. And their entire line, first of all, is butt toys. And up until this point, actually, you know, people who've dedicated themselves to just making butt toys have primarily marketed to the gay male community. And this is the first company that essentially is proudly pro-anal and making it for everyone. Their copy is really diverse. Their representation in their ads is really diverse. And they are just all about awesome anal toys. And as you can imagine, I have incredibly high standards when it comes to anal sex toys. You can't just throw a cute little butt plug my way and be like, hey, this is revolutionary, because that is not going to fly in my ass. But I will say, I have tried out some of their toys, and I'm about to try out some more, and I absolutely love them. They're super high quality, great range of sizes for people, so super, super good small ones for beginners, but also really good ones for advanced players. And we are doing an upcoming show all about sex toy reviews, so I'll be giving you my full review of B-Vibe. But in the meantime, I just want to welcome them, say thank you for your support, B-Vibe, and you can check out all their great butt toys at bvibe.com. Okay, so we've been talking to Maggie West, who's a photographer in LA, about her latest project, which is this book, 23. And when I looked through the photos in the book, that was the first thing that sort of caught my eye, which was there is a great deal of diversity in terms of gender presentation, gender expression, gender identity, bodies. There's also race and cultural diversity. One thing there is not a ton of body size diversity.
I have gotten in a lot of that recently.
Okay, so this isn't like something, you know, something you didn't notice. Okay.
I've been made very aware of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I have been hearing that a lot from a lot of different people. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. Like, I cast a lot of people that I knew and that I work with in the past. I am a commercial photographer outside of this, so a lot of the models I know are conventional models, mm-hmm. Regardless of their gender identity or sexual orientation. So, I don't know. I mean, I think because of the amount of people who have said something about this, like, I may consider doing something slightly more diverse next round. But yeah, I don't
plenty
really know.
Of big girls who would love to pose for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I can just give you their names.
Okay.
But it is what I find interesting also is that there are moments when you turn the page and you're not entirely sure what the gender of the person is.
Yeah, I felt that way when I was putting together the layout of the book, and I kind of did a little test run where I gave the prototype of the book to some friends and family who are not super aware of like trans identity and stuff like that, just to see if they could notice that, and like most of them didn't. So
yeah.
So yeah. I thought that was a really interesting aspect, and then like. Certain people I knew who identify as very hetero straight men were like looking at an image of a trans woman being like, oh, this girl's super hot. And like, I didn't, you know, with some of them, especially like with like old friends and family or whatever, like I didn't really say anything, but mm-hmm. I did think that was really interesting that like they were looking at an image of a trans model and just like absolutely couldn't identify that.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think it speaks to the moment we're in now, right? Where like all of these millennials and then the generation after millennials really just have a much more diverse and fluid sense of sexuality and gender than everyone who came before them.
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like, how old are you? Do you say how old you are?
No, okay. How dare you? I'm 32.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're a little older than I thought. Okay. But don't you feel like more and more this is like mattering less and less to
people?
Totally.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I wanted to do this kind of book, because I felt like it speaks more to like the current, like it's a very current book. And I feel like our generation has been much more like, you know, open about expressing different sexual and gender identities. And so to do a book that's like supposed to be a portrait of contemporary sexuality that doesn't include trans people and it doesn't include like queer people in general and like honestly sex workers, I thought it was just like stupid. So like I felt like it was a very, like people are like, what inspired you to like have trans people in your book? And I'm like, well, I'm making a book about contemporary sexuality. Like it would be really dumb not to include all of these people in the book. Like it's just, you know, makes sense.
Right. So. Right. And how, I'm curious about how in a town that is like full of people with agents and a lot of glossiness, LA,
yeah.
How you make it as an artist who's clearly doing work sort of outside the mainstream?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like society in general, like the mainstream is becoming like I don't know that my casting outside of this is like maybe a little bit outside of the mainstream, but if you look at a lot of current campaigns and a lot of like a lot of people are making more efforts to diversify like their models. So I don't, you know, I hope that continues and becomes like more mainstream, but
I want to know how you make it in LA and do the work that you do, which is not like pretty landscapes that someone will just buy to hang in the bank.
If I'm being super real with you,
I was kind of hoping.
I mean, to be totally honest, like I struggled for a while in LA because I was trying to keep my like commercial identity and my artistic identity as one, where it was like, oh, like I just want to do work that I am like artistically like feel represented by, and make money and like people just buy my aesthetic and whatever. But the stone cold truth of the matter is like, as of right now, and I'm hoping this changes, I don't make any money off of it. Like it's not as profitable as people think. So if I were going to give advice to young artists that are honestly trying to not artistically compromise what they want to do, I would say find another way to make money. Like I shoot a lot of cosmetic ads. Like that's how I make the bulk of my money. I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to make money off my like print sales and like artwork and stuff like that. But it's so funny to me. People come up to me all the time and they're like, oh, you're doing so, your book, you must be making millions of dollars. And that's just not true.
So you have a day job. Like, you have a day job.
Well, I mean, my day job is as a photographer. Yes. So like, it's like essentially part of the thing. But like, yeah, I do a lot of work that I like don't find super interesting and I don't put my name on it, you know, like, so like, yeah, I mean, and I think that like, unless you were born wealthy, that for a lot of artists, like that's just how it is that you're going to have to do some work that like you maybe don't love, but sometimes you have to do stuff like that in order to fund the work that you do want to do.
Yeah. So, you know. Which I think is just, I'm glad you're honest about it because I feel like it's important for people to know.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you could hit it big. Like, don't get me wrong. Right.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, like the art world or so the mainstream art world could come calling.
Well, and it's starting to happen. Like I'm getting a lot more of that. And I'm hoping that within the next year or two, I can just completely focus on the types of projects that I actually want to do.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, if you look at a lot of like great like artists and directors and, you know, people, they're still doing commercial work on the side. It's just that nobody talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this like illusion that like you can like,
you're just making
only,
art all
only
day.
Do art that is completely your identity. It's just like silly because like, again, unless you are from a very wealthy background. Those are the only people I know that have like never had to do any like side work, you know?
Right, right. Okay, we got to take another break because we live in a capitalist society and we have to pay the bills, just like we were just talking about. So listen to these commercials and do your work as listeners so that we can keep the lights on and keep the show going. Stay with us. We're going to keep talking with Maggie West in just a few minutes.
Enjoy luxurious sex toy shopping from the comfort of home with the newly launched PleasureChest.com. This redesigned site brings the Pleasure Chest experience directly to you, with specially curated pages for every fantasy and fetish, along with top toy picks from your favorite sex educators, myself included. Check out upcoming workshops and events, as well as their signature Pleasure Ed content, because sex never goes out of style. Don't forget to use the coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free gift with every purchase. Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I just added an event to my schedule, and hopefully you in the Los Angeles and Southern California area will come see me. I am doing a talk, which is called Poly Talks and Rye Relationships, which is put on by Rye Mann, and they're guided open forums in a Q&A format. The trick here is that Janet Hardy, the author of The Ethical Slut, and me, the author of Opening Up, are going to share the stage for the very first time. And we are going to talk about consensual non-monogamy, monoamory, polyamory, relationship anarchy, don't ask, don't tell, swingers, BDSM, casual sex, threesomes. What are we not going to talk about? I'm really excited about this. We are being joined by, I think, 5 or 6 other people who are really represent a diverse view of perspectives on these topics. And it's like a half day thing. It's going to sell out because it's in a room that only holds 100 people. So you should get your tickets ASAP. If you go to my website, puckerup.com, click on tour, you'll see all the info there and links to get tickets. It's going to be held at Stockroom Hall, which is right next to the Stockroom in LA. And it's April 29th, 3 to 7 p.m. So I hope to see many of you there. We're talking today with Maggie West about her new project 23, among other things, in her work. I want to quote Gabby Dunn's essay in the book because I think it really speaks to another element of this. Gabby Dunn, who is a really famous star on YouTube and also has an incredible podcast called Bad with Money. And she has a show on YouTube called Just Between Us. She's a comedian. She's a writer. She's a producer. She's an actress. She's fantastic. Okay, so this is what Gabby Dunn writes. Existing isn't just radical. Existing happily is radical. It is radical to refuse to believe you're not beautiful, you're not sexy, you're not worthy of being photographed, you're niche or deserving of scorn and scrutiny. Our bodies are our bodies. They belong to us. They are here. They are here. They are here. You can't stop them. So another thing that strikes me about this book is that queer and trans visibility is so important right now, given the political climate.
Yes.
And I know that you've done work raising money. You had a big fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. You've also raised funds for ACLU. So I know you've thought about this stuff. And I'm wondering if you'll share sort of the politics of your art with me.
Well, I mean, I think, like, I did the Planned Parenthood benefit back in November because Planned Parenthood is incredibly important. I mean, they've been very helpful to me and several other times in my life. And what was really interesting about that was, you know, I shot, I think I shot like 75 people for the SAND benefit. I auctioned off work from KISS and work from 23 and Fluid. To raise money for the charity. And we actually made over $1,000 for them. So like, that was cool. Yeah. But in the process of doing, we did like a portrait wall, of, people who basically stood in support of trans, or Planned Parenthood, excuse me. It was like LA based, like actors and models and people like that. And like, almost every single person told me like a very personal story about what Planned Parenthood had done for them. And so, like, I mean, I was really happy to do that benefit because it did, in fact, raise money for a charity or not a charity, an organization that I care about a lot. But it was really interesting to, in the process of doing that, like, hear all these super personal stories about how important Planned Parenthood was.
And then it happened. The actual show happened
the day after the election, which was really like Chris is lovely and a wonderful person. And he was helping me do the install for SAND, which took a very long time. So we voted in the morning and then like we were at the gallery like the entire day. And I, like so many other people, just kind of thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And so I had originally thought, like, oh, this party is going to be like, I'm like, hey, we did it. Aren't we all relieved? Like, let's get together and, you know, donate to Planned Parenthood. And anyway, not that we would need to because Hillary's president. Ha ha.
Right.
So, yeah, around midnight, Chris and I were still at the gallery putting up the install, and he was like, I went to the bathroom and I came back and he was like, you should look at your phone. And I like look, and Donald Trump is like, he wasn't officially president by then, but he like pretty much was. And it was so depressing. So the next morning I woke up and I just emailed everybody who was in the show, which was like almost 100 people were like on the wall, you know. And like, I was like, hey, like, I know we're all super bummed out right now, but like, why don't we come down here? I bought a ton of extra alcohol when Trump won. I sent one of my friends to the store with like $100, and I was just like, buy so much liquor, like just go for it. So, and in that way, I think it was like really cathartic and nice to, on a day where everyone was so upset and so depressed, like there was somewhere you could go and like hang out and drink and bitch and have fun, but also do something and give money to Planned Parenthood. Because I think like a lot of times, like everyone gets frustrated and they're like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like what? Like I'm angry. I'm gonna post on Facebook. I'm gonna do whatever. But they don't actually, you know,
know how to take action.
Yeah. So for me, and I felt that way myself a lot with a lot of political things, and so. While I think that art, I don't think that artists have a responsibility to sell all their art for charity. Like it's funny to me, like for the Flora, my last show that I did at the Standard, like I gave like, I think 25% of the profits from print sales to the ACLU. And like, I got all these comments that are like, why not all of it? And it's like, cause I'm a human and I have to make money. Right. It's back to the last segment.
Right.
But like, so I don't think artists necessarily have a responsibility to like do this, but I think for me, I wanted to come up with a way that I could help in a less symbolic, more practical way. And mm-hmm. so for me, like donating money, and like we had Planned Parenthood had a table at the benefit where they like got volunteers to sign up and like stuff like that. So for me, it was really nice to see my work making like a practical difference in that. So,
and do you, I mean, what's coming up next for you? What are you working on right now?
I am working on a bunch of stuff. A lot of it isn't like super official yet, and I can't talk about it. Okay. The one thing I can talk about that is coming up next for sure is I have a billboard going up in West Hollywood. Actually, I think the same week that the book comes out. So that next week.
That would be really good promo.
Yeah. Like, so it's actually one of the images from Kiss.
Which is your first book.
Yes. And it's a really great image of my friend Tina kissing her boyfriend. She's actually licking his face. It's like technically a kiss, I guess, but it's like a more face lick or whatever, but it's super cute. And it's going to be on Sunset Boulevard, and I can't remember the exact address.
And so who, like as part of something,
The West Hollywood Arts Council has mm-hmm. a program called Art on the Outside, where like basically for a lot of like, for every billboard, like a certain percentage of billboards have to be non-commercial.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, like West Hollywood has an amazing public art program. They really do. And so
I know that though, now that you say that, because I saw the Lesbian Haunted House.
Oh yeah.
In West Hollywood.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Which
that was great.
It was during Halloween, and it was like this huge performance art piece
yeah.
that people went through the Lesbian Haunted House, and it was like so brilliant. And I was like, who funded this?
Yeah.
And it was,
They are fantastic. They do a lot of really great things. I hope to do more with them in the future. But yeah, the billboard should be up next week, I think, like right around when the book comes out. So that's super cool.
That's amazing.
As far as other projects coming up, like I think the most immediate one that I will do, I have some bigger projects that I'm going to work on starting in the fall, but I think I'm going to do like another smaller sciencey one, like along the lines of like Fluid or like Flora, the other show that I did that's like these macros of plants. I've been really into meteorites recently.
Okay.
So that might be the next thing that I do for that. But like, I really like doing these kind of still life, like non-human photo series as like a little break for myself like in between these big production like people ones. So that's probably it. I really want to get into more installation work. I did in Flora, I did an installation at the Standard where I built like kind of like an indoor like garden thing that was like lit up with gel lights. I'm actually doing a big installation at the book launch party for 23 that I don't want to tell everybody
about. No, but it's a secret.
Surprise, okay. But it's a very cool looking surprise that you should all come see. Okay. So yeah, I love being a photographer and I will continue being a photographer, but I want to experiment more with like the way that photos are displayed, I think would be really interesting. So I'm going to do a lot more with that over the next year.
Okay. I like that idea. I'm going to try to make that party. Okay, we got to take another break. Time is flying by. Okay, stay with us. You guys are going to be able to get this book, by the way, directly from Maggie. Maggie's also has her own basically art like publisher, produces her own books and publishes them herself. And so your money is going to go straight to her. So you should, you know, support her. MaggieWestPhotography.com. I'll tell you that again at the end of the show. But for now, let's take a break and more with Maggie when we come back.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. Enjoy luxurious sex toy shopping from the comfort of home with the newly launched PleasureChest.com. This redesigned site brings the Pleasure Chest experience directly to you, with specially curated pages for every fantasy and fetish, along with top toy picks from your favorite sex educators, myself included. Check out upcoming workshops and events, as well as their signature Pleasure Ed content, because sex never goes out of style. Don't forget to use the coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free gift with every purchase.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Hey, if you listen to the show, you know that the Pleasure Chest has this awesome program called Pleasure Ed, which are sex ed classes at their various locations throughout the country. And they're free, open to everyone and free. All of them are from 8 to 10 p.m. And I want to tell you the ones that are coming up this week. In Chicago, April 26th, Kinky and Creative Blowjobs with Andrea Renee. April 26th in L.A., Why Are People Into That with Tina Horn. She will be out in L.A. from New York City. That's also the title of her amazing podcast. And she's going to break down why people are into the things that they're into. She's an incredible presenter, so you don't want to miss that. And then in New York City, April 26th, Advanced Anal Play with Sloan. Remember, Pleasure Chest just redid their website, and it's gorgeous. And I have my own page on there recommending my favorite products, and we'll tweet that link out. So find out more about the classes and do some shopping, pleasurechest.com. We're talking today with Maggie West, who has a new book coming out also on April 26th. So apparently it's just a big day for sex, et cetera. Her book is called 23, and it is portraits of, it's nude portraits of 23 Los Angelians of varying gender, sexual orientations, and races. And so the reason I asked you kind of like what you were up to recently is because I'm wondering if you feel like driven in some direction based on kind of the debacle that has become the United States of America under this, under our president, 45.
Well, I think that there's a lot of activism going on in art right now. I don't currently have another, like there's a few smaller projects that I'm trying to put together that have something to do with that. But again, I shouldn't really talk about them until they're like for sure yet. But like, Yeah, I mean, I think it's impossible to not be affected by this climate, because it's like, you know, you look at your phone or like any source of media and like the world's blowing up every day and like that sucks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like I feel like I've definitely felt like more of a need to do more with that towards like helping organizations and groups of people that I care about through my work. So again, like I said earlier, I don't think that artists necessarily have to be political with every single thing they do. But I think that, you know, if for me, it's been very cathartic to try and give at least some percentage or something, or like, or just make a book that like with 23, like a lot of people that I feel like the current administration is trying to like
legislate
down,
criminalize, control,
terrible things too,
yeah,
are like represented in the book. And I think while I don't think the act of like representing people like should be radical, because again, it's not like they exist, you should represent them, like I don't know, I hope in some small way like it helps to fight the current of crappy things that are happening right now, you know.
And because these folks have different, come from a diverse range of backgrounds, and not all of them are models, yeah, or not all of them have done sex work. Was there anyone that you worked with, you don't have to name names, that was reticent about being naked or uncomfortable with being naked? Like, did you have that kind of thing that you had to work through?
Well, the way people, models being comfortable is very important to me. Like in both books, in both Kissing or Being Naked, there's a sense of vulnerability, which is, I think, a very strong current throughout my work. Mm-hmm. It's like, it is in some ways about intimacy, but I think a lot of what I shoot, it has to do with people being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I try a lot to sit down and talk with the models before we actually start talking about like what they're comfortable with. And because I don't want to shoot anything that anybody is not comfortable with. So before we shot anything, I would talk to people about like the level of naked that they were comfortable being. Like there were a few people, there were a few models that wanted to be in the book a lot, and but they didn't want to be fully nude. And so with those people, I mean, it was really, we just shot them topless or whatever and then cropped above the waist, and it was super easy. So, you know, I just think I just really want the models to be comfortable, and I don't ever want to put anybody in a position where they're like uncomfortable with what we're shooting, because like, you know, that's not a nice thing to do. Also, it would just be a bad photo. So,
but I've had this as a filmmaker, that I also, I mean, I love when people will get vulnerable and will like show you a particular tender side of themselves. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in the span of the time that you have to shoot the person, it's hard to develop a certain level of trust and intimacy to have them kind of bring their walls down in that way.
I've found, I mean, in for a lot of the models in 23, I'd either shot them with Kiss or I knew them from other photo shoots. So like in some ways, like that was super nice about the casting for the book. Like, is that like, I knew a lot of these people before.
So you had
prior just sitting down like as friends and doing that. So like a lot of the models in the book I was already friends with. However, I met so many really cool, interesting people who I felt like I developed like a pretty natural rapport with. Arise Wanzer, who's actually wrote one of the essays in the book, is one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. She's incredible. And she and I got along so well that I asked her if she wanted to write one of the essays for the book, and she did, and it's hilarious and it's great. And like, so I feel like the book was really interesting to shoot for me, because I, while I was aware of like trans issues and stuff like that, like it's definitely like the most conversations I've ever had about stuff like that over like a short period of time. So I feel like I got some new insights into like what it's like for them in some aspects and stuff like that. So, 'cause I think you can be aware of like
as a cis issues. Person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like as we all have totally, body issues, yeah, right?
Like, yeah. And like, and I think that you can read about and hear about issues, but I think it's, there's something very different that you get from like sitting down and having multiple conversations with people about what their life has been like. Like, I feel like you get, and I mean, I can never understand fully because like I'm cis, like I don't like, you know, without being that, but I do feel like I got a better understanding of some of that stuff by having the conversations that I had. And like in general, my shoots are super casual. Like all of these shoots took place in my studio, which is also where I live. And like all of almost all the shoots were just me and the model. Like mm-hmm. It was very low key. Like it's just me and the person. Same thing with Kiss. Like it was just me and the people making out. Like I don't normally have photo assistants on set for stuff like that, just to kind of keep that level of like low key intimacy. So,
mm-hmm. Because I think you do capture some amazing moments, and I know that sometimes when the like you can't manufacture them, you just have to sort of get there and see if someone's ready to go there, like yeah. in front of your camera.
Well, and some people, like I had one model who originally was like, oh, I just want to do like, I don't want to show like nipples or anything. And I, you know, she wanted to be less naked. And then throughout the shooting of the book, like she was like, ah, whatever. And like, but the thing that I do, is like the actually, all of the images that you see in 23 for the most part were what I did is I made a PDF of like the best like 10 for each person. And then I showed them to them and were like, which ones do you like? So most of the images in the book are ones that they like okayed. Or well, all of them have been like okayed. But
they may be ones that they picked.
Yeah. Like so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, well, because again, I don't, you know, I can't do this with every shot I ever take ever, right. But like especially for this book, all of these portraits are so personal that I didn't like, I don't want to publish a photo that that makes somebody feel insecure that they hate. Like I don't want to do that, right. Like
that's nice of you, because I would say photographers are like, well, this is the job I'm taking, well, your picture and I'm a picking
job
one.
Like yeah, I mean if yeah. it's a commercial job, I have no control over that either. Like, but for this project in particular, I just wanted to make sure, I mean, a lot of the selection, and I would be like, pick your top five, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. like a lot of the selection of the book had to do with layout, mm-hmm. had to do with like color, you know, mm-hmm. like there's a lot, like laying out this book was a little bit more complicated because I didn't want to have like five guys in a row and then a girl or something, right. Like there has to be like a flow of the work. Mm-hmm. So I just asked each of the models to like pick several photos that they liked. And mm. then I kind of picked from them.
Nice.
So.
This is a question that I used to ask like all of my guests regularly, but then I sort of fell out of it. I don't know why on the show, but I think I really want to know the answer from you. In selecting these, I know that there's like all these things that go into sort of selecting which ones you pick. And obviously the model had some choice. But I'm wondering what you think is sexy.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's so subjective. I think it can be like switched up on like the hour based on like your mood or like, you know, what you saw on TV or like what, I don't know, what you had for lunch. Like, who knows? I mean, yeah, I don't even know where to begin with what I think is sexy. A lot of different things.
Can you give us examples?
I mean, I like Chris. I think Chris is very sexy. Yeah, I mean, in general, I think with both men and women, I am attracted to more masculine traits. Mm-hmm. Like, I've noticed that both men and women that I've been attracted to, like that seems to be a common thread. It's not that I don't find feminine women sexy. I totally do. I shoot them all the time, but like, I don't know that I'm personally attracted to them as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess.
Because
like,
some of these photos, I mean, there's a lot going on in the book, right? But some of these photos just are really sexy photos.
Yeah. Well, I think when people are comfortable, sometimes they can be very sexy. And I think, you know, that's one of the nice parts about about like creating a more intimate, relaxed environment is I feel like people can really be themselves and they can pose in a way that they think they look good. And it's not that I had no input on that. Like some of the people, especially people that are not familiar with posing nude a lot, like were like, what do I do? And I would be like, oh, I'll try turning your head this way or whatever. But like, you know, like in general, I wanted people to pose in a way that they felt attractive. Like for instance, one of the girls who is a more masculine woman, like who hasn't modeled a whole lot nude. And she was like, well, I don't really know what to do. And I was like, well, you could do like this pose. And I like did one of the ones that one of the girls preferred. And she was like, ah, that's so femme, not doing that. And I was like, all right. Like, definitely don't. Like, I want you to do what you feel. And she did. And she got into it. And like, I think she has some great photos, you know? So I think being comfortable and feeling confident in whatever, like, definitely helps with creating like a sexy photo, you know?
Yeah.
So also there's a lot of very hot people in the book that helps. It helps that everyone in the book is super hot. Like,
okay, that's fair enough. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and I wish you such good luck with this book.
Thank you.
Maggie West's second book, 23, will be released on April 26th. That's in just a few days. Find out more at maggiewestphotography.com. Follow her on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Maggie West. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and Aaron on the board today, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when I'll be back live with some special guests in studio. So don't wait too long to listen to this show and then get back with me live. You can catch me on Facebook.com/AskTristan. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Tristan Terramino. The show's on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. So check out Maggie's photos. They're really hot. And maybe you'll get naked for her one day.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Terramino on Voice America Variety.